Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for His goodness in our lives. I want to appreciate us for joining in to this fellowship Zoom meeting with the Bold Christian Ministry. This is a ministry established by God, and we have a mandate to ensure that the love of God is proclaimed throughout the whole earth, and the hope of eternal life is being shared to as many that wants to reign with Christ throughout eternity through the gospel and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of Jesus Christ. So that is the essence of our gathering together, and part of our gathering together, we get to meet to look at the Word of God, which happens bi-weekly, Saturday and on Sunday. Following that, we have a prayer meeting, which is at an upper room. So where we get to come together to pray in fellowship, and of course, where two or three are gathered in their midst, I am with them. You're welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry today, and I want to say a big welcome to you. And before we proceed here, we will pray. Let's bow our heads as we begin to bless the name of the Lord for His goodness in our lives. We want to thank God. We want to appreciate Him for making it possible for us to be gathered together in fellowship. It is a good thing to be in the presence of God. It's a good thing to worship God. It's a good thing to fellowship together as brethren. And that's one of the pathway of measuring one's spiritual progress too. The apostles' doctrine includes the breaking of bread, fellowship, doctrine, and prayer. So these are the fourfold ministry of the apostles, and it's a good thing to always be in the presence of God. So let's begin to appreciate God. Let's begin to bless the name of the Lord. Let's begin to appreciate Him for making it possible for us to be gathered together today. Let's thank Him for the gift of life. He has made it possible for us to be kept alive today in His presence. It's a good thing. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's go into the house of the Lord. So many people want to do the same, but they are nowhere to be found today. But God has, not that we are better than them, no, we are not, but God has made it possible for us to be kept alive today, to be in His presence. Let's thank God for His goodness in our lives. Let's thank God for His mercies upon us, upon our family, upon our business, upon our career, upon our work, upon our those who are around us, upon our friends. Let's thank God for His goodness and His mercies upon us. Let's worship God. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank You. We bless Your name. Thank You for the gift of life given unto us. Thank You for the gift of life given unto us. We appreciate You, O God. We appreciate You, O God. We appreciate You, O God. We give You all the praise. 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 In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. We want to ask God to bless us today. As we've come into God's presence, we know in His presence there is fullness of joy. Let's pray that God Almighty will bless us today as we gather together in fellowship and in the unity of faith to listen to God's word. We want to believe that the Spirit of God has a lot to say to us today. I want to ask to pray that God will open our eyes of understanding so we will be able to receive His word and be able to place that upon our lives, side by side with our lives, to see where we are and to be able to move ahead if we are lacking behind. Let's pray to God that God will help us and He will visit us today, will touch our lives through His word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You bless us today. So we've come into Your presence, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. And so, our God in heaven, we thank You for today. Thank You for yet another time in Your presence, study Your word. Lord, we know that the entrance of Your word giveth light and understanding unto the simple. Lord, we pray that You will speak to our life through Your spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your word will be sent out and to perform the purpose to which it will be sent and delivered to our lives in the name of Jesus. Let Your word change us. Let it transform us. Let it make us better Christians and securing the right standing with You at all times in Jesus' name. Well, thank You, Father, for we know it is done. Speak to us, O God, and give us a listening ear and give us the grace to obey Your word in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for we know it is done. Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. And everybody says amen. Amen. All right, you're welcome once again to the Bold Christian Ministry. We are here for a time of Bible study. And when we gather like this, we tend to look at the scriptures and study the word and to be able to see how that word can really transform our lives. And from when we started out, God has been helping this ministry to grow. And of course, we are committed to teaching the whole truth of the Word of God. Not anything outside the Word of God, not anything around, but the Word of God. That's why we're here. And today we'll be looking at a very important message that the Spirit of God, that God Himself has for us. The topic before us today is battle for the truth. Battle for the truth. Of course, I'm not sure if we'll be able to take all in today, but I'm trusting God that the Spirit of God will do justice to helping us to accomplish this the message that we are set to listen to. The battle for the truth. Battle for the truth. And I will be, of course, the Bible talks about the truth in the New Testament. And whenever we come we've seen different passages of scripture that talks about the truth of the Word of God. And we have seen our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both in the synagogue, outside the synagogue, talks about the truth of the Word of God. To the people, to his audience. And we will be looking at, we'll be reading a few texts here. In John chapter 8, that will be the first one. And then before we look into some of the scriptures as to knowing what God is saying to us today. John chapter 8 in verse 32. And in verse 31 it said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." In verse 32 it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Shall make you free. Shall make you free. The truth has the capacity to accommodate the fallen man and transform that fallen man into setting, making the fallen man to be free. So there's freedom in that truth. And we're in an age where falsehood is flying all around. And no doubt it is the last time. And what that posts to us as believers and Christians who have accepted the truth, which is the Word of God, it's that we have to ensure that the truth is not taken away from us. Jesus Christ, while addressing the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, I mean, you can imagine a whole chapter being dedicated to the set of the Sanhedrins and, you know, telling them who they are and how what they are practicing, which is against the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ made them, if you look at the what the Sanhedrin were actually, they know what the truth is. They know what the truth is. But Jesus Christ coming into the scene and teaching the truth of the Word of God to displace their error is what they are angry at. Now, how can this man just come in and then try to take the custom that Moses delivered to us and then is preaching something that Moses did not approve, those things, you know. So they know the truth because the Bible made us understood in record time that there was division among them. There was division among them. Some believed, some did not. Of course, there are a few, maybe a few that I would say a few that actually the Bible points out. One of them was Nicodemus who went to Jesus at night because he knew that what they were practicing is against the truth. Another instance was when the officers were sent by the Pharisees to go in search for Jesus and they heard him teach the word of God and they went back to him and said, why didn't you deliver this man to us? Why didn't you arrest him? Why did you come alone? Why didn't you bring him? Said, never man speak like this. So this context of admitting the truth by the set of officers that were sent and Nicodemus, they were able to take some time to analyze the situation based on what they know on the law of God through Moses and the grace and truth that has come to us now. They were able to come to a result that this thing that this man is teaching has to be the real thing that we need. Not the one that the Pharisees are just teaching, you know, the commandments of men and all, living the principles and the doctrines and then focusing on their own, based on gains. And that's what we find today in today's churches. Falsehood is everywhere. It might appear that someone is saying what is true on the podium, but what they are teaching, somebody can take grace, for instance, now. The word grace, for instance. And then he tried to teach about grace. I say, oh, the grace of God covers all. Once you are born again, you are born again, you are saved. The grace of God has covered you, you know, and all that. And then, you know, try to. And this has been in the battle for the truth has been since the beginning. Because the Bible gave us an account of the reason why Satan was cast out of heaven. In fact, Jesus Christ made a robust statement why in his public lecture and educating the people about the reason why they did not want to listen to him. Said, ye of your father, the devil. From the beginning, he is a violator of the laws of God. He's a violator of the laws of God. Because what? He does not abode in the truth. So you find it hard to believe in God's word, to follow God, because God himself is the truth. The truth of the word of God that God spoke is the reality of mankind. And that's the truth. So the devil find it hard to to resolve, to come to a resolve that this thing is the best thing that can happen to us. So that's the reason why he tried to contend for the truth. So if anybody is standing for the truth, the devil will come for you. But that truth has a way of making one free if one accepts the truth of the word of God. So what am I saying here? In order for us to have a transformed life, because as we live daily, we see a lot of things will be thrown at us, we go through, we have different experiences. I mean, if you give someone a mic and say, can you tell us how your day went? You say, oh, while in the office today, I had this aggressive person that just came in, and then, you know, everybody has one or two things to share, basically. But what will secure you is the truth of the word of God. If you abide in, Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you want to continue in the truth, you have to ensure that you secure the right standing with the truth and the word of God. So the word of God has the potency of transforming any man, no matter who the person is. It has the ability of making one free. Jesus Christ spoke about the truth in John 16, verse 13. Said, when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. It will guide you. It will be the one to lead you. It will be the one to, whatever decision you want to make, you need to subject it to the truth. The truth is like an everyday assessment, basically. It's like you maybe going to an airport, and then it's like a scanner. So when you enter into the scanner, before you make any decision, you need to first of all go to the scanner and say, okay, let me, this decision I want to make, how does it, is it true? Is it okay? So the truth of the word of God is what we need every day in order to overcome the challenges that come to us as Christians. Because in this pilgrim journey, there are a lot of things that are flying around. The battle for the truth. There are different contentions, even in the body of Christ, where people don't talk about the truth again. So if you have been attending a church for 10 years, a local church for 10 years, and then you see, you take inventory and then you look at your life, you probably notice that when I started this, when I joined this church, I was a sinner. 10 years now, I'm still a sinner. So what's going on? Hold on, let's analyze. Is it me or the person communicating from the podium or the leadership of the church? How are they even living? Even the leadership of the church, are they fighting with each other? All those things. So if you have been attending a church, every part of our lives need a critical assessment from time to time. Like I did say, the truth is a scanner. Once you placed it on anything, it will tell you whether you're on the wrong side or on the right side. So if you place the truth of the word of God in a local church and then you put it there like a lamp in a dark location, you place it there, it will reveal what is going on. It's like an X-ray. It's something that when you place somewhere, people can see what is going on. For instance, if you have a local church and you place the truth of the word of God in the leadership of that church, and then you begin to analyze, you begin to see, okay, this deacon is fighting with the other deacon. Okay, the resident pastor, who is supposed to be the pastor pastoring this local church, is not in alignment with this thing. He's still keeping growth. In fact, his messages sometimes is like he's talking to the regional head, you know, all those things. And then you begin to see different things, and you see maybe the members too are fighting, all those things. That's what the truth will is always revealing. That's what the truth does. That's what the truth does. It reveals. So that's why you find out that even, you know, in a secular job, sometimes maybe you're a manager or you're someone who is a senior in your place of work, and then you've been working the job for 7 years or maybe 17 years, I'm not sure, but you know, you look at your life when you started a job, you place the truth there. Okay, it fits in. All right. Right now, where you are, you place the truth there. Is it revealing anything? Does it tell you what you are doing wrong? Does it tell you what you are doing wrong? Maybe when you give your life to Christ, you used to be everything, the fruit of the Spirit, everything was just, you are in alignment with the Word of God. You are in alignment with the true Word, with the truth. But right now, you notice that if you place the truth now, do not steal. Are you stealing? Do not commit adultery. Are you committing adultery? Okay, so are you in synchronization with your neighbor? Maybe you are fighting with your neighbor all the time. Oh, they have come again. These people, they won't allow me to. Hey, I'm not. Or maybe you're fighting with a member of your, maybe your siblings, you're not in good times, always fighting all the time. That's what the truth does. The truth is always revealing. It's always revealing. Remember, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 40, you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth that I heard from God. He brought the truth from God. So God is truth personified. So when you look at God, you're looking at the truth. So that's the reason I said the truth is like when you place it somewhere, it will reveal, it will do a printout. Well, when it does that printout, you will be able to see, okay, this is what you did not do. Maybe you are keeping malice with your wife, or you are not in alignment with one of your friends because of something that happened between both of you, and you have been in that case for 2 years. You are everything. That's what the truth does. The truth reveals who we are from time to time. If I place the truth on myself and there's a printout now, it will tell me, it will do an analysis of where, okay, is lying, maybe 0%. This one, that one, maybe this one. That's what the truth does. The truth will print out. And you can tell if you are lying, or if somebody that is lying, you can tell if you are lying or not. If you are keeping malice, you can tell. No, I don't do that. No, there's nothing like that. That's what the truth does. You place it there, it prints out everything for you. So what we are saying today is that when there is a battle from time to time, and there is working in the truth, Word of God, in the truth, it's an everyday journey. It's not I did place the scan last week. No, every before you go to bed. That's the way I live. That's the way I live. When I wake up, I do an analysis. Okay, before I go to bed, I will do an analysis. Okay, in all this, not as if I'm keeping myself here at home. I go out, I, you know, do my regular routines and stuff like that. But I'm just saying that it's an everyday walk. It's not just something you say, I did a scan last week. What came out did not look good and all that. So what came out did not look good, and you did not think to adjust. You did not think to ask for forgiveness. You think, everything is okay, everything, grace covers all, you know, and all that. The battle for the truth this day is so intense that the devil is looking for souls to hijack. So the Spirit of God wants us to check our lives, to place ourselves on the scale of the truth. When you place yourself on the scale of the truth, it's revealing. It will tell who you are. Like the example I had said, you're attending a local church for 10 years, there's no changes. You can't say, oh, I've really achieved some measure of spiritual progress here. I used to do this before, I don't do that. I used to do this, I don't do that. In fact, matter of fact, I've gained ascendancy. My prayer life is great. The Spirit of God works with me. I can discern what is this and what is not. I can, and the discernment is what every believer will need today. So many Christians today, they can no longer identify what the truth is. Again, anymore. They can't even tell what the truth is. They can't tell. Because the taste board that they are supposed to use to which is the spirit of discernment, is weak and is almost out. There are 24 hours in a day. So a man wakes up, feed himself or his soul with unedified meal. Some will be on Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram for 7 hours a day, and sometimes maybe 5 hours. A minimum is like 2 hours for some. And they are feeding their eyes with things they should not be looking at. So at night when they want to sleep, they will say, well, there is no reason to really pray because all through the day I've just been watching what is unedifying. So let me just call it a day, and then they go to bed. It shows how weak the taste bud is. You confess Christ today, but you're not keeping watch over your soul. You are not inconsistent with what the Spirit of God is telling you to do by time. You disobey the laws of God. You violate what God has said you should not do. It shows that you don't have what it takes any longer to really discern. So if somebody who wants to corrupt you comes now, you won't even be able to discern. You won't be able to tell. If somebody invites you to a church, whatever is being said in that church is fine. You just take it, and then if somebody invites you to a party, and you don't even have what it takes to ask, okay, what is this party all about? You don't have what it takes to inquire anymore. What's the purpose? Why am I going to that party? Or why am I going to that get together? So it shows how weak the taste bud is. And what I'm saying today is that is where we are in the last days. There's a struggle and a battle for the truth. First, there is a battle for the truth with every man, and there is a battle for the truth in the church of God today. So it's important that we wake up. Because it's always a wake-up call from time to time. Everyone will need to check his taste board to know if you are still abiding in the truth or you are outside the truth now. Now, if you are outside the truth, this is the time to come to the truth. Because the coming of the Lord is so near. It's near. And they will not sound an alarm that they will not give you a notice period. That's just like they give you a notice maybe for something. This one, there is no notice. No notice will be given to any man. Don't think they will reveal to you from when you are sleeping that Jesus is coming next week. No, there is nothing like that. There is no notice that will be issued. So this is a wake-up call for every one of us who wants to be rapturable on Christ's second coming. So it's important. What is your taste bud like? Do you have the ability? Do you before now you used to have the ability to discern, to know some things, to really identify some things and, you know, be able to quickly adjust to say no to some things, to say, okay, this one is okay, this one is not. You have that ability because you're always abiding in the truth. But these days, what is it like? So the battle for the truth has to start with us before the church. So most, what you find out in churches is that most, these days, most preachers, they teach what sounds like doctrine, right? Faith, grace, mercy. It, of course, they will be teaching it the way, but if you look at the context, or even the person teaching that thing, if you look at how the if the Spirit of God helps you to really analyze some things, you discover that the person is not living that life. And that was the reason why Jesus Christ told those who were following him in the book of Matthew chapter 23. And then in verse 1, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not." They say and do not. They say, so it's possible for somebody to be talking about faith in Christ, but the person is not in Christ. He's not born again, but he's talking about it. It's possible for somebody to be talking about the grace of God, but the person is not living that life of grace. So it's important that we really take some time to sit down and place the truth on our lives, so that the printout that will come out will be able to tell us where we are in Christ. If we are in Christ or out of Christ. Because it is through Christ that we can get to heaven. It is through Christ that we can get to the Father. It's under his administration. This, what we are talking about, is a kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the administrator. So it is true, you need to be admitted first. When you are admitted, it is through him that you can reach the Father. So he's the admin. So we need to understand that what we are talking about today is an essential, it's an emergency. Let me put it that way. It's an emergency to making heaven at the end. Heaven is not it. Don't let anybody deceive you. The heaven is a place where you just scroll. No, you don't scroll in. You don't scroll in. You don't scroll in. You'll be weighed in the balances. You will be weighed in the balances. I pray God will help us to take some time to reflect on this word of God. Battle for the truth. The battle is still ongoing. It started before you were born. It will keep going. The battle for the truth. It's something. So it's a daily exercise that one needs to observe. So if you have not been, if you are living a careless life as a Christian, a carefree life, anything goes, oh, we are all here, we are all together. No, we are not all together. The truth is what separates us. If I'm going to be a friend of yours, what do you believe? Is that thing you believe, if you believe in the true word of God, in the truth, are you living in that truth? Does your life talk about that truth? Can we find some traces of the fruit, some fruits around the truth in you? Can we find traces of the truth in you? So not everything goes. Not everything goes. Remember, Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? In John 18, verse 32. Even Pilate did not know, of course, what the truth is. But the wife, when sleeping, woke up and said, in Matthew 27, said, I have nothing to do with that innocent man. I have suffered something. So the wife was able to, to know what the truth really is. So it's a wake-up call for us. Battle for the truth. Where are you in the truth? Let's ask ourselves these questions, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. And wherever we have missed it, it's not too late. We need to run back to Calvary, to Jesus, and say, Jesus, I've missed it. Please help me. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. I want us to commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord and begin to ask God for grace. Because it's really a contention and a battle for the truth in these last days. So you don't want to be caught unawares. If you have not been living in the truth, this is the time to ask God for forgiveness, to ask God for grace, to help you. If the company you are keeping is not going to help you, you need to cut off from it. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to help you choose from time to time. It's the Spirit of truth. It will guide you into the friendship you are supposed to go to. It will guide you into the local assembly you are supposed to go to. The Holy Spirit will guide. Our map to living life on earth. The Holy Spirit. So let's begin to pray and talk to God that God will have mercy on us. Wherever we have heard, wherever we are not abiding in the truth, that the Lord God Almighty will help us to abide in the truth. And so, our God in heaven, we thank you for today. We bless your name. Thank you for your word that has come to us today. We thank you for speaking to our hearts, to our lives about the truth. We know your word is truth. We know that you want us to be with you at the end of time, throughout eternity. Lord, we are praying, we're asking, oh God, that as we reflect on your word, help us, oh Lord, to place the truth in our lives so that the printout that will come out will be able to tell where we are, whether we are in the truth or outside the truth. And have mercy on us. Forgive us if we have heard from the truth. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse us, wash us whiter than snow in the name of Jesus Christ. And give us the grace to stand strong in these last days, to overcome the hurdles and the challenges, the noises, and every falsehood that comes at us in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Thank you for blessing our lives today. As we go about the rest of the activity of today, keep us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen.